be a sanctuary for it.
It's the greatest thing you can do in life. You know, Brother Branham said, I was thinking, he was saying that a minister has a higher position than the President of the United States, and I was listening to an interview that they did with Donald Trump, with some religious leaders, and he said that, he's talking about, he didn't say greater than the President, but he talked about just how great of a position the ministers have and what kind of influence that is. And to be a Christian, a testimony, a sanctuary, is the greatest thing that we can do in all of our life. Amen. Mm-hmm. So we're just happy to be in the house of the Lord with you tonight. We're going to go ahead and open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 6, and then we'll go to Hebrews chapter 11. Have your pages turned there, say amen.
Amen.
Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, like all of us, right, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 3, we could probably all say this one by just from memory, right? I won't test you, though. Just be ready next time. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Let's pray. Lord, how wonderful it is to be in your presence. We just experienced tonight just the liberty among the people here tonight gathered in your name. We know that where your presence is, Lord, there is liberty. And we want you to have liberty tonight among us. So we open our hearts to you, Lord, and just pray, God, that you would break the bread of life. I know that you have many men throughout the earth that have gifts in their life to share the word of God. But Lord, every one of them, including me, Lord, we cannot do this without your help. And so we just surrender to you tonight and ask, God, that you would guide in every way, not just the speaking, but also the hearing. We just love you, Lord, and commit this service and these people into your hands. I ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I want to title this tonight, Casting Out Devils. Amen. Casting Out Devils. You know, the Bible lets us know that we were made in the image of God. Amen.
Yeah.
I've said this many times, you know, in the scriptures, right, where whenever Brother Branham was talking about how when the Lord passed by and Moses wanted to see him and he would cover him and he passed by and he saw his backside and looked like a man. And I said, well, it doesn't say that. How do you know it looks like a man? And, well, if you know what a man looks like, if you see him, you say, that's a man,
right?
If he looked like a pencil or a, you know, then you'd have to say, well, that he looked like a pencil. And so you realize that God, we are made in his image. And when, if we could look upon him, you know, that like he did with Moses, then we would see him and he would look like a man. He'd walk with two legs and he'd have two arms and five fingers on each hand and all that. And so we are the offspring of God, the scriptures tells us. I mean, all humanity is made in that image, but then among all that, then God has some people that are his offspring. And because they are his offspring, they carry his traits. Right? If I get anywhere off the word, you can say, Brother Tony, that's not right. Because it's right. We're made in his image. And so we carry his traits. There's things about us that's just like him, because we're a spin off from him. Like the scripture said, you know, he's the father of lights. It means his children are lights. And there's no variableness in him. No shadow of turning in him, right? Like we say in the natural, the sun's always shining. But it's stuff that gets between us that makes us have dark, gloomy days. But the sun's always shining. God is always constant. He doesn't change. Now we got to lay these things in our experience and quit letting Satan just pull us away from these truths. God is always constant. There's no variableness in him. Right. He's eternal, just all the time. And so, when God made the worlds, we read there that he didn't make the world out of things that appear. Right? That's what it said. He created the universe, but you say, well, what did he use? What where did he go, and what materials did he grab and build up to do it with? He didn't. There was no like that. There wasn't things that appear that he made. He made the whole entire universe and all angels and principalities and everything. He made it out of something that doesn't appear. And we know the scripture said it's the word of God. God believed his own word. Here's this being that fills all space and time, and how could he ever express himself? But here he was, and we know that he spoke, and by his word he created, and we know that he had faith in his own word. Right. He had no doubt in his own word. And so we realize that's the kind of nature that God is, and he made him by faith. And so when Brother Branham said, and I've mentioned this a few times, and I can't get away from it, it just keeps, so I know that, but the Lord probably has something here that's going to come out of this at some point, because he keeps it before me for a couple of months now. And I know that I'm not expressing it probably, but I'm going to lay it out there anyway so that the Lord can take it someday and do something with it. And so when Brother Ram said that if you have any part of God in you at all, that you could speak a world into existence and go live on it. Right? Right? How many believe that?
Right.
Right? But, you know, you may not feel like you're there yet, but listen, if you've got an infinite God and you've got a portion of that infinite, what's in you is infinite. Because there's no limits. There's no way to contain it and measure it. And so Brother Graham's saying, if you have that in you, then if you can, it's controlled by faith. But if permitted to do so in that realm of faith, you could speak a world into existence and go live on it.
Right.
And so I had said that, well, if you did that, would you have to understand everything about that world? Would you have to understand what kind of minerals would make up the rocks, and what kind of atmosphere and the molecules and how they all would fit together? Would you have to understand that in order to be able to create, to speak and create? And the answer is no, you wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Right?
Okay.
Because once by faith you tap into that realm of God, and there is no limit. Right? And so whatever faith could speak, then in that infinite power is also that infinite wisdom and understanding. That spoken word could go and create it, and you don't have to understand all the ins and outs of it. Right? It's in there. That creative power is in there. All that understanding would be there. And if you could speak upon it, well, then scientists could go there, and they could study, and they could learn for the rest of their lives, and all they'd be doing is learning what was in that spoken word to begin with.
Right.
But you don't have, I'm saying all that because you do not have to understand how God does things.
Right.
You do not have to understand how faith makes things happen.
Right.
You just believe it.
Amen.
Quit trying to figure it out. Just
Amen.
Believe God's word.
Right.
And remember, you've got something in you that can do that.
Right.
Right? You have a part of God in you that can do that. And someday you'll see it. And you'll see it. If your eyes are open and you don't let let Satan trick you all the time. You'll see it in your life daily.
Sure.
But it'll manifest in its full power at some point. You're going to see it as believers.
Right.
Full, because that's who you are. This flesh is going to drop one of these days and take on an eternal being, right? That person of God that's in you is going to be wrapped around. It's going to be a body that will never die. Because that's really who you are. And so, you don't have to understand those things. You just have to believe it. And so, we know from scriptures that we sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right? In natural heavens up here, you can't get to it unless you have a special something to get you there. So is it in spiritual. In spiritual, we sit in heavenly places. You can't just decide you're going to ascend up into the presence of God. It takes a presence of something to get you there. And so because of being Christ dying on Calvary and sending back the Holy Spirit and we're being able to be saved, well, now we have a power and an engine and a product that can take us up into the heavenly places where others can't be. And then up in that realm, we can see and hear and know and experience things that you don't down here.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? That's how we know these things. And so we get to sit in heavenly places And so heaven is God's abode. You know, Brother Bram said heaven consists of the Word. It is the Word. But God dwells in His Word.
Right.
And His Word is heavenly places.
Yeah.
So we get caught up into heaven. We get caught up into His Word. You're into the presence of God because God dwells in His Word.
Right?
Right? We get caught up in heavenly places. And you have to understand that in heavenly places, devils are not allowed there.
Right?
Right? At one time, Satan could go up there and we read about it in the book of Job, right? But we understand Satan is cast out of the presence of God. Now think about it. God is life. Satan is death.
Right?
Right? God is light. Satan is darkness. God is faith. Satan's unbelief.
Right.
See the there? And so you can't have light in the darkness in the presence of light. You can't have unbelief in the presence of belief. You can't ascend up into the presence of God with doubt.
Right.
You can't come up there without faith. It says there in Hebrews 11, without faith it's impossible to please God. You can't even please Him unless you believe.
Right.
We sang the song, only believe. Only believe what? Only the Word.
Right.
Believe the Word. And so, devils are not allowed there. Unbelief's not allowed there. It can't stay in the presence of God because the very presence of God cast out evil things, cast out things that are not like Him.
Right?
Right? And that part of God is in you.
Right.
There's a part of God in you that can cast out because it's God.
Right?
Right? Yep. You got to believe it.
Right?
Right? The very belief that you have does it.
Right.
Right? Just to accept the Word of God displaces devils out of your life and out of your heaven. Let me refer to it like that. Because when God catches you up into that realm, that's your realm too.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't want unbelief there. It can't be there. You can't be there if you're full of unbelief.
Right?
Right? So, the devil's and unbelief can't be there. So God cast out Satan. We've read some of these quotes, or this one before. Greatest battle ever fought. Amen? How many remembers that? Greatest battle ever fought. I haven't listened to it for a while. Brother Bam says, Satan's army brings diseases. And God's army is commissioned to cast them out. Amen. There you are. Every time Satan throws out onto you, God's army is to cast them out. Amen. Cast out. That's the very technique that God used. Satan used the army of destruction to disbelieve God's words and set up for him a kingdom, a better kingdom than Michael had, and God cast him out. God's method is to cast out devils, cast down reasoning, cast down superstitions, cast down worry.
Right.
Anybody worry? Cast down worry.
Right.
I'm telling you, you have in you what it takes to get rid of these things.
Right.
But you have to use it.
Right.
You have to say, you know what? My mind belongs to God. I'm not letting this evil thought in my live in my mind.
Right.
Right? Satan will try to give you stuff, but you have the power to cast him out.
That's right.
Cast down worry. Cast down diseases. Cast down sin. Mm-hmm. Amen. You're above it.
Right?
Right? You're down here is all that unbelief and all, but when you get caught up in the heavenly places, now you're in Christ Jesus. You're above all this stuff. This stuff don't belong up there where you are. Doesn't belong in your life. Doesn't belong in your mind and in your body. Doesn't belong there. Because you're in Christ now. He's redeemed you. He paid the price. All of you belong to him. All of your body, all of your mind belongs to him.
Amen.
None of you belongs to Satan.
Right.
But Satan wants to try and come in.
Sure.
Amen? He tries it. Cast down sin. Amen. You're above it. Resurrected in Christ Jesus, sitting in heavenly places with every devil under your foot. Every devil under your foot.
Right.
If he starts to stick his head in there, well, you know, he said, you're dead. Your life is hid. What is dead? He said, you're dead to your senses. You're dead to your conscience. Your own human will would say, yes, I guess I. He said, you're dead to your reasonings. Dead to all these things. And you're buried in the name of Jesus Christ and raised with him. And wherever he is, there you are also. Amen. What happened when one of them doubters got into heaven? God kicked him out. And what did he say to the soldiers that's raised in Christ? When a devil comes along, kick him out, cast him out. When Jesus trained his army and commissioned them to the ends of the world, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Thy soldiers, in my name, they shall cast out devils and speak with new tongues, take up serpents, and drink deadly things, and it wouldn't harm them. And if they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. We know that by memory, by heart, that scripture there. That was God's tactics, was to cast out. Cast Satan out of his realm.
Right.
We are to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
There in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. I should pull that up there real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations. You know, as you can imagine, things is not right.
Right?
Imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Amen. So, when God made us, he made us with five outward senses, touch, taste, see, smell, hear, right?
That's right.
And he made us with five inward senses, Brother Brim named those as imagination and conscience, memory, reason, and affections. And he said, of course, then that's your spiritual man. But then down inside there is your soul.
Yeah.
And in there's only one thing. It's either faith or it's doubt.
Right.
It's either God or it's not God.
Yeah.
Right? And so he gave us these five outward senses to contact our earthly home. He gave us our five inward senses of imagination and conscience to move to contact that realm. Okay? But then there's a soul realm. What do you contact that with? What is that? Faith. If you're a child of God, it's faith. If you're not, then you can't. We'll quote here in just a moment to describe a little bit of that. And so, let me just go ahead and read it real quick, and then I'll make comments if the Lord allows me to have comments on it. Brother Bram tells us in conference with God, he said, now I want to get something here. God, when he made man, he gave him five senses, and those five senses are see, taste, smell, feel, smell, and hear, as we all know. Those five senses was not given a man to guide him. That was given a man for him to contact his earthly home. See, taste, feel, smell, hear. And that's your earthly senses. And they were not given to you to guide you. But God sent the Holy Spirit. He's your guide. The sixth sense, faith. Okay? The sixth sense. And that makes you believe things that you can't see, taste, smell, feel, smell, or hear. That sixth sense. Something that rises you up. And he says, and there's only one class of people that has that sixth sense, and that's believers. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So God gives man faith, and faith is the sixth sense that makes you deny anything that's contrary to God's word. Right. A while ago, cast down anything that comes along, anything that Satan puts in your head that's contrary to Christ, to the word of God, cast it out. Do not allow it in your life. Cast it out. Now, Brother Bam said in the message, look, now remember, the whole Christian armor is supernatural. If you're a Christian, you say, seeing is believing. You can never be a Christian if you believe that. If you believe, seeing is believing. You can never be a Christian if you believe that. For faith is a substance thing hoped for, the evidence of not things not seen. You cannot be a Christian and have to see the thing. The whole armor of God is supernatural. Love, joy, peace, faith, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, and the Holy Ghost, it's all unseen. Right? Love's unseen, joy, peace, faith, long-suffering. There are outward manifestations that might indicate that those things are there. Right? But the whole thing is supernatural and unseen. And the Christian doesn't look at what he sees with his eyes. He looks at what he sees with his faith.
Right.
Amen. And so, God made us in his image. And he gave us five senses to touch this earthly home, to be able to pick up something or whatever, to walk around. He gave us senses. And we're not saying that those are not wrong, right? They're not wrong until you start trying to use them in a realm that they're not supposed to be used in. You use these to move around and walk around and turn a light on and do things and to feed yourself and to drive to work. You do those things, right? But when you start trying to use your flesh to fight a spiritual warfare, see, it's wrong. Then God gave us imagination, conscience, memory, reason, affections, and God gave us those for a purpose so they could be used correctly in the economy of God, but Satan wants to hijack those too, just like he does your flesh. See, devils wants to get in your flesh, devils wants to get in your spirit, man, in your thinking, in your imagination, in your conscience, and they want to torment you, both spiritually and physically. Right? So, God gives you those senses to contact your spiritual home, right? So you can imagine things, you can remember things, your conscience and so forth. You have all those realms, and so Satan wants to use those and make you use those contrary to the will and word of God also. In other words, in your imagination, he wants to tell you something that's not God's word. He wants to tell you something that's not right and make you dwell on that. So he wants to make that a stronghold in your life. But the scripture says we can cast down those things that are in stronghold.
Right.
See, he wants to come in, he wants to grab you and hold you there and get a stronghold where you can't get free.
Right.
That's what he wants to do. And when he does that, but he can't do that unless you allow a devil in a realm that he's not supposed to be in.
Right?
Right? So, casting out devils. Brother Graham tells us, as we said a while ago, in the soul realm, it's either faith or doubt. So, You can't, and remember, so in that faith realm, that sixth sense, that realm of God where he dwells, that heavenly place, it's all one and the same what I'm talking about here. And so you don't get God's attention by trying to use your touch, taste, see, smell, and hear. You don't use that to try to move off into that realm of where faith is, where God is, where all things are possible. You don't do it with your outward senses, nor do you do it with your imagination or your conscience or memory, reason, or affection. You don't do it there, because when Satan caused Eve to fall into the garden, he was working in her imagination, conscience, memory, reason, affection, and it came down into her flesh, and she did something in her flesh because she'd already done it in her spirit. Right? Right? So Satan wants to come in with lies and things like that. And so he gave you those things to contact your earthly home or your spiritual home, but the way you contact that realm of God is not through flesh and not through those five spiritual senses, but it's through faith that you contact that realm of God, that place that we all enjoy and experience and want to live and want to be. That's how you contact it. But I will tell you, I see it all the time. People, believers, and they live their life, and there's so much of their life that they're not living by faith, contacting God, but they're coming down from that realm and trying to do it with some lesser realm of imagination, or even some all the way down into their flesh, trying to say, well, I'll serve God by doing things or whatever, or I'll serve God with things like imagination, what I can come up in my thinking or whatever. But the truth of it is that the way you contact God is by faith, which is not these other senses, right? You bypass those. They're lower realms, right? So you go up into the realm of God of faith, and that's where all things are possible. That's where speaking a world into existence and go live on it, right? And you've got that as a believer in that soul realm. It's there. But that soul realm is not imagination.
Right.
And it's not flesh. It's a soul, it's a great place of the power and presence of God. Well beyond flesh, well beyond imaginations and so forth. And so heavenly places is that third realm. And if in that realm that you have faith, then you're in contact with God. Amen. And like I said a while ago, there's only one class of people that have that sixth sense, that faith, is believers. And so because we are believers, we are in contact with God. We live in his presence. I'm saying if that's what we are. That's what he's bought for us. That's what our heritage is to live in the presence of God, live in eternity, live with life and faith and belief, and not doubt and not darkness. Joy and happiness, peace, long-suffering, all those things, it's attributes of that realm.
Right.
But see, that realm, by faith, we can take the benefits and the blessings of that realm, and we can bring those down and cause them to affect the lower realms. We can bring that down and cause it to affect our imagination and conscience and memory. We can bring it down and cause it to affect our flesh. That's what we as Christians are supposed to do. By faith, we rise up into that realm, and coming from that realm, it brings our thoughts subject to the Word. It brings our flesh subject to the Word. But you can't do that without getting into that realm by faith and faith alone. You can't run loud enough, hard enough, shout loud enough, pray hard enough. That it takes faith to get into the presence of God. And then by that, you can bring that realm down and affect your spiritual being, your physical being, and the physical of others. You can affect their lives too. But the way you do that is by getting into that third realm, into that soul realm. And so we can bring the blessings of that realm down into our spirit man, into our thoughts daily. Because you realize that Whoever's controlling your thoughts and your imagination, that's probably who's going to control what your flesh is going to do. So if you're afraid in your spiritual being because Satan's lied to you, then it's going to affect you, and then you'll be nervous and it's going to change your whole life, right? And so, but whoever's in that soul realm, when you contact them, bring that down, it'll take control of that spirit man, which will take control of the flesh man. By faith. Amen. So because we're Christians, we can bring those blessings down into our life. That's what healing is. That's what causes us to change the way we're living, change our thoughts and stop living for the devil and start believing God. And it's because that realm is now coming down and affecting our lives. And so devils aren't allowed there. Right? And so, that's your heaven. That's your realm too. That's your right to live and to be able to come up into the presence of God daily and to walk in the Spirit daily and walk in the influence of that daily. That's what he paid the price for. That's what it is to be a Christian. Right? And because of that, then it affects spirit man and flesh man. And so what I'm trying to show you is that if Satan's not allowed in that realm, and you can bring the influence of that realm down into your spirit, then you can cast him out of that realm too. And if you can bring it down all the way down into your flesh realm, where the presence of God is now affecting your flesh, you can cast Satan out of that realm because that's your heaven and you've brought that heaven down. We're talking about heaven come down. The presence of God come now. The presence of God is here. It always is. Always is. See? Bring the presence of God by faith down into your spirit realm and cast out things that are contrary to the word. And on down into your flesh realm and cast out things that want to make you sick or nervous or something like that. And every believer has the ability to do that. Cast out devils from out of those realms by faith. Amen. If you don't have that touch of God in your life right now, why are you here? Why have you been listening to this word week after week, month after month? Why do you enjoy coming to church? Because God has a hold of your life. You've got that deposit of God down in there. You got to find that deposit. Quit trying to do it with your flesh. Quit trying to do it with your spirit, man, your imagination, and what Satan wants to get past all that into the faith realm and use that gene of God that's in there to cast devils out of your kingdom, out of your heaven, out of your life, out of your mind, your imagination, your conscience, and so forth. Cast him out. You say devils aren't allowed here. And you can do that because God has paid the price and said that's the way it is. Amen. So you cast them out from your spirit, cast them out from your flesh. Say they're not allowed here because they are unbelief. And around here, we're going to believe. And in our flesh, we're going to represent belief, faith, God's realm. Cast them out. So you got to quit letting Satan into your thoughts. Right. Oh, God doesn't love me. God doesn't love me. He's forsaken me. See, the scriptures, he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Right. So when Satan says, oh, God is forsaking you, you cast that out. Right. You have enough to know that's not what the word of God says. Right. When Satan says, God, it's not going to heal you. You cast that out and say, by stripes I am healed. What God has said, that's the truth. And everything else is a lie. Amen. You see, you've got to cleanse your tabernacle. You've got to keep Satan out of your land. Okay. And God has done it for you. He just said, you just got to stand up for it. Yeah. Right? Cast them out. Say, well, he's not going to save me or he won't heal me. All of that is lies because the Word of God does not say that. Right? Now I want you to stop. I'm going to labor here just for a moment. Stop and analyze your own walk and how much time you spend being influenced and thinking, things aren't going to be right. You know what I'm saying? Stop those things. Brain, you know the scripture says, gird up the loins of your mind. Right? Because if your garment around your loins is not girded up, then every little wind of doctrine is going to blow, and if you ain't careful, it might show your nakedness. Right? Gird these things up. Gird your mind up with the Word of God and quit letting Satan blow all that stuff around and make you doubt your position. Right. Doubt who you are. Doubt that you can be a representative of Christ. Right. Quit letting him do that. You can cast him out by taking this word and doing it. Jesus gave that example. Brother Man said he could have smoked Satan any way he wanted to when Satan come and tested him when he had been fasting and he was hungry. But our precious Lord, so that he could make it clear to you, so you could understand that you can defeat the devil on any day, any time, just by saying what, by staying with the word and saying it is written, does not mean you won't have a testing time. That we are tested. God will test us. But you've got to cast out these things when Satan tried to come along and say, well, you know, cast him out. If Eve would have done that, we wouldn't all be in the fix, right, that the world is in. If we'd say, well, you know, you won't die. You'll not die. God does it. She should have said, buddy, hit the road, packing. Because God said it, and I'm staying with it. But she didn't. So simple. But yet it's a fight, it's a battle, because that's where it's at. To believe what God has said and what God has done and what God has done. And so when Satan tries to lie to you about to tell you these things, if you can't find it in this word, don't you confess it. You find the promise of God about your situation and you confess it. Speak it. Don't, not just to yourself. I mean, that's fine too, but speak it. Say, get behind me, Satan. Because the word says if you will resist him steadfast, you know what steadfast means? He will flee. Right? Because you've heard me say it. He cannot take you if you don't want it. If you don't will it, right? He cannot, and you have to allow him to start putting that stuff. And then once he starts putting those things in there, they become strongholds. If you believe one little lie, if you've believed a lie, that lie is a stronghold that he's already put in there to make it easier for him to bring more lies. You can't let him have 1 inch of ground in your mind, in your thinking, in your body, right? And how do you fight it? We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against spiritual wickedness, right? That's how come the prophet come along and said, well, it's a demon is what it is. They might call it cancer or cat, but it's a demon. Right. It's a spiritual thing. Get rid of the spiritual thing, and then the rest of it will take care of it, right? Because whoever's in the spirit realm is in control of the flesh. Right? And so, quit letting Satan lie to you. If it's contrary to this word, don't dwell on it. Cast it away and say, that's not right, and I'm going to fill my mind. That's what I do when I go somewhere and I hear a song, a worldly song that maybe I listened to years ago, and that spirit tries to get you, and I don't like it anyway because I'm a born-again believer. I'll just deny that thing, and I'll start singing a gospel song until that goes away, till it's gone. Right? Even Satan can attach himself to smells or to phrases. Somebody can say a phrase and it'll be part of a phrase that was in a song, and that song or spirit will try and jump on you and try to get you to start hearing that in your spirit realm. Yeah. Cast it out. Right. If it's not giving glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, cast it out. Has no business in your brain. No business in your life if it's not glorifying God. I'm talking about impurity. to glorify him in purity because he's given us pure word. So we know that all this stuff out here that's mixed up, all that and religious Christian mixed up with all kinds of things, cast it out. Serve God in purity. This temple, this tabernacle is for him, not something else. I understand you have to interact with the world, okay? We understand that, but cast him out. Do not let him live in your heaven, which is not just your soul realm, but your spirit realm, and even come on down and cast him out in your flesh. Amen? Don't let him be there. You don't have to feel for it to be so. You don't have to feel it. This is a big one. You don't have to feel the presence of God to know God is here. You've got to say, you know what? I might be in a room full of devil worshipers, but God is here because I brought him here. He's with me because he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Right? So you have to understand that God is with us, with his people. And so you don't have to feel his presence to say he was here. You don't have to feel his presence in church to say he was here. Because he's here. Right? So you don't have to feel it for it to be so. It is so when God has said it so. That's it. See, and of course, like I said a while ago, after a certain amount of time of testing, then the thing will appear. What you're believing for, God will manifest it out in this outward realm. But before that ever happens, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is here, and it don't matter how long it takes, it's here. And then at some point, it will manifest. Or God is alive. And you know he's not. It will manifest. Because we're dealing with eternity, time doesn't matter. Abraham had to wait how long? It doesn't matter how long you have to wait to get whatever it is. Just believe it. Every day, believe it. Confess it. Believe it. Cast the evil things out and keep the word before you as frontlets between your eyes. Don't be marked with the mark of the beast in your right hand or your forehead. Let it be the word of God. Let that be the thing that's before you. And believe that and believe it in eternity. And eventually it'll manifest in time. And God is the one that controls how long that'll be. It might be instant, and it might be 25 years like it was for Abraham. But you believe it. Cast those things out that are contrary. You don't have to feel it to know it is there. You believe it. People can say, well, boy, we had a good church service today because, man, we shouted, we ran, and we rejoiced. And that's false. Every time you come to the house of God, it's a good service because you are allowed to come into the presence of the Word and come into the heavenly places, whether you feel good or don't feel good. Right? Amen. People will say, well, you know, I know back in Pentecost, we had a good service. The preacher didn't even get to preach. I'm sorry. That's not right. That's not right. The word is first. Right? We don't discount emotions or those things. We understand that. But the word is first. And what's happened is the church world has got where the word is not first. What is first is, does it feel good? Does it make me want to pat my foot? And you know, and do I get all worked up like that? And that's fine. We understand that's those things are there for us to enjoy. But when we start measuring and saying whether or not we are blessed because we did or did not have that, we're wrong. We're wrong. It's the word that God has given you, and it's in you. And you've got to use it. And you have to cast the devils out of your realm. Ministry can do a lot of things too. We'll do everything we can. But we realize we are coming to rapture, and every person will have that faith, a measure of faith that they are initiating in their own life to cast out these things out of their own life. Amen. You heard the saying, you can't help somebody who don't want to help themselves. There's only so much that God will do until you start believing His word that He's given you. There's only so much you can do. Right? You've got to believe. And quit letting imagination and things the contrary be first. Say what the word says. Live what the word says. Conduct yourself like you understand. God said it so, and so it's so. Whether I feel it or not, it is so. Amen. And so, we're blessed because we get to come into the presence of God's Word and sit in the heavenly places. You do that every day in your life because He's with you. And, you know, Satan, I'll just use it to come to mind, you know, when I hurt my thumb here the other day, right? Well, Satan could have jumped and said, boy, God's not with you. I mean, you're down here working for church. You're doing stuff here that needs to be done here at church, and you've cut the part of the end of your thumb off. Wow, God ain't with you. God would do that? What kind of God would let you get hurt like that when you're working, trying to do something for His people? Do you think Satan don't try and do stuff like that? You know he does, right? But you cast those things out. See, Brother Daniel will shake his head. Yes, Satan tries to hit us with things too. Right? But you cast those away. They have no business in the mind or in the life of a believer. And you tell it to go. You put the word in its place and put them out by putting the word in there in its place instead of other things. Amen. If people believe, oh, you know, I didn't feel the presence of God today, so he must be mad at me or something like that. That's anti-word. Right? That's anti-word. It's not what you feel. You think Jesus felt good when they were whipping him? When he went to Gethsemane and said, my God, why? That didn't feel good. Right? But he didn't deviate from that word. Right? And he had the power to do it. He said, don't you know that I could call for 12 legions? 12,000 angels. He could have split the earth in half that day if he wanted to. But he didn't. Because that would not have fulfilled the word of God for his life. And that's why I say, God, that's coming to adoption. Oh, we all like, oh, I want to be able to speak. But listen, coming to that where God gives you power to do things, and you're supposed to use it for his kingdom, and he also gives you power that you could do things contrary to his kingdom, and you have to throttle it back and say, I'm not doing it because it's contrary to the word. Because, see, you can go find a job that would take you out of church. You can do that. He'll let you, right? You've got the power, but you have to say no to that. You have to say, here's what's important to me, right? You have to do that. And so Jesus had the ability. He could have changed it, but it wouldn't have been fulfilling the word of God. So he wasn't feeling very good when they were driving the nails into his hands, right? But the word was right. Think about Apostle Paul. He suffered a lot. We understand that. Do you think he always felt like the messenger? If you read about it, all the times he was beat, how many times he was shipwrecked, floating in the water for however many days, right? It wasn't easy, right? But he was God's man, and so that faith was in there so he could stand at the end of his days and say, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Yeah. Right? How many would like to say that? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Brother Branham did the same thing. He went through all kinds of things. And all of that to make this message more effective and clear, just clear to us that he went through all those things, losing his wife and all the chill and all the things he went through. Thank God for the transparency of a prophet. So he went through those things. So none of these men lived because of what they feel. They lived by faith in the Word of God. So, Brother Bram tells us in Abraham's grace covenant confirmed, I'm almost done. I know it's Wednesday night, but the Lord put this on my heart, and I'm going to get it all off of my heart, at least for tonight. Abraham's grace covenant confirmed. Jesus never did say, did you feel it? He said, did you believe it? That's right. Not did you feel it. All these sensations and all things, brother, it's some mythical, made up. It's not God's word. All these sensations and all these things, brother, I'm reading it again, it's something mythical. Made up, it's not God's word. He that believeth, that's where it's at. It's faith in the finished work. Christ died and healed you at Calvary. He saved you there. You've got to accept it by faith like the rest of us does, right? You believe it. You don't have to stay there and beat and cry all night. Talking about coming to the altar or praying. You don't have to stay there and beat and cry all night. You can cry till you get gray-headed and lay on the altar and die. And until you accept the blood sacrifice that God gave for you, you're lost. I don't care how you feel. Amen? Has nothing to do with feelings. It has to do with the Word. Now listen to what else Brother Brandon said. He said, you're lost. I don't care how you feel. He says, I don't go by how I feel. I feel a lot of times like I'm way behind. Your prophet. What all did God do in his ministry? And he said, there's a lot of time I don't even feel like I'm where I'm supposed to be. Right? Amen. I don't go by how I feel. I feel a lot of times like I'm way behind. But the Bible said I've met God's requirements. That's it. The Bible says I've met God's requirements. Jesus defeated the devil on the word. He said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be turned to bread. He said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. He defeated him with the word of God. And that's how we defeat him, is by the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. That's correct. Amen. We don't go by feelings. And I say, I labor on that because I know all of us in our battles daily, we're constantly in our mind toiling in, and we're doubting, we're disbelieving. We get that stuff out and say, it is written. Amen. It is written. If you're an offspring of God, and I believe you are, then you've got that deposit in there that can cast out. Amen. Have you met God's requirements?
Amen.
Have you repented?
Amen.
I know you have. Right? I know each one of you. You've repented.
Right.
Have you been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't, we can take care of that. But I think all of you have. Okay? Maybe the little children's, maybe not, but. So if you have repented and you've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a promise.
Amen.
Now it's on God. Right?
Right?
Now you can't just back up and say, well, I did it, and I just go live any other way. But you stand there with faith and saying, I have met God's requirements. And he has to give me the Holy Ghost. And whether I do it shouting or running or I do it silently without sensation, whatever, I'm going to have it.
Amen.
Right? You gotta be like a bulldog, you know, and just say, I'm going to have it because God said so. Take him at his word.
Amen.
He didn't say if you repent and you're baptized and then you give enough in tithing and you do this and you give to charities. He didn't say that. Repent and be baptized, and if then ye shall. He didn't say when. Remember, it's coming from eternity. Time don't, right? God wants you to have it more than you want it. Amen. You say, well, Brother Tony, I did, and I believe I've had that experience, but I've made mistakes. Okay? Just repent of them and get back up.
That's it.
It's not necessary to go get baptized again. Right? Don't have to. Just get back up and go serving God again. Repent. Amen? Drive the devils of unbelief out of your domain. I think I was telling Brother Dan when we were talking. I said, you know, he said, we are kings and priests. We're king. You know what a king does? A king rules over his domain.
Yep.
What is your domain? Don't you think that what you allow in your thinking and in your imagination, isn't that your domain? What you allow in your flesh, isn't that your domain? Your home, isn't that your domain? Your influence that you have on other people, that's your domain?
Sure.
Right? You may not be able to control what people do, but you can control what you do to influence people.
Right.
That's your domain.
That's right.
Rule over it.
Yeah.
You are a king. There is no higher authority in your kingdom than you. You do it. You reach out there by faith and say it the way it is. Amen. It's just that simple. Amen.
Amen.
I feel like that this little bride of Christ scattered around the world, we don't know the time frame, but I feel like we're moving into something.
Yeah.
I really do. Because, and I think Brother Daniel will tell you, the thing just, you know, it's hard to describe, but you see things in the spirit realm, and you can't even describe what you're seeing, but you know something's coming, and you know things are moving. And God's taking his people higher.
Right.
And all as a minister of the gospel here to you, so I'm saying, be sure that you're coming along with it, because God wants you to operate like what we've talked about tonight. Amen? You can cast out devils. Well, Satan, come on now. You got to be careful, you know, you might not. No. If you have God in you, you have the ability to displace devils by putting the word where they're trying to be. Right? They cannot stay in the presence of God. You put God in the room, they have to leave. You put God in your room, right? They have to leave. You put God. Wherever you put God, see, like we read a while ago, and wherever he is, that's where you are.
Yeah.
Right? Wherever you are, that's where he is. Because he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Amen?
Yeah.
I trust this has been a blessing to you tonight.
Yeah.
Coming from him to encourage you. Live by faith. Amen? Let's bow our hearts to him just for a moment. Lord Jesus, let the musicians come. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this hour that we live in and the words that you have so wonderfully given to us. Lord, it's so much greater than anything a man could ever be or do. And Lord, sometimes we just, some seem like we feel like we don't know which way is up. But we like, Lord, what you're doing, how that you're bringing these truths to your people. And it's beginning to take hold in us. Lord, so we know that there's nothing but victory ahead for your children. We might go through trials and times of testing, but God, we know that you've got this, and we want to please you, Lord. We want to be like you. We're made in your image, and we want to be able to exercise these attributes that you've given us, Lord. We know we're down here in this world like a seed that's been planted, like the prophet said, the seed of the pond lily down underneath the muck, and we're just having to push our way up through all these things, push our way up through unbelief and the culture of this day, and Lord, but we believe we're about to stick our heads up on top, and so that beauty character in our life just begins to show more and more. I pray, God, that you drop into every person's heart a hunger and a desire, Lord, for these things to manifest in their life. I pray that tonight you'll take these words and help them to understand it, Lord, in my own broken ways of sharing it, that it is your word, it is faith. That's the only thing that works. Help us, Lord, to bypass all these other things that are contrary and come up into your presence. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Score 566, key of A. Write down a few songs before service. Don't really know which one until you get here.